This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi wahda. Wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. Ala man la nabiyya ba'dahu wa la ummata ba'da ummatihi wa la kitaba ba'da kitabih wa la shari'ata ba'da shari'atih. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected ulama, elders and brothers, we begin by praising Almighty Allah, sending salutations upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is indeed our honor to be able to speak about our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember very well, whenever we speak or listen about our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we can never ever do justice. Something that we have to say from the very outset. The Arabic poet had said, ma in madahtu muhammadan bimaqalati walakin madahtu, or different ways it has been reading, وَلَكِنْ مَدَحْتُ مَقَالَتِي بِمُحَمَّدِ, that by me narrating about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am not praising him. In fact, it is my speech that has been enhanced by me making mention of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We all know Marhum Junaid Jamshed rahmatullah alayhi. And sometimes it's quite amazing that you use the word rahmatullah alayhi for a person who was previously a singer. But that is the reality of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants hidayat from what was a singer, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take work from him, and today throughout the world we speak about his beautiful poems in praise of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one of his poets reads something like that, Dil ko himmat nahi, dil ko himmat nahi, lab ko yara nahi, tutsa koi nahi, tutsa koi nahi. The heart doesn't have the capacity, the heart doesn't have the ability, the words doesn't have, and the tongue doesn't have the eloquence to praise you, O Prophet of Almighty Allah. In short, there is no one like you, there is no one like you. So this is the reality of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ey Rasul Amin, Khatamul Mursaleen, Tutsa Kohi Nahi, Kutsa Kohi Nahi. Ey Rasul Amin, O the Rasul of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the seal of all prophets, there is no one like you. There is no one like you. Tere sikka rawa, kul jahan mein hua, us jahan mein hua, is jahan mein hua. Your beautiful impression and authority, it is in every place. It is in that particular realm, the realm of the akhirat. It is in this realm. Tutsa koi nahi, tutsa koi nahi. There is no one like you, there is no one like you. And that is the reality. We never be able to praise our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sufficiently. I'm also glad that I'm in this masjid. Alhamdulillah, I have a very long standing relationship. I was here at this masjid at the time of the opening of the masjid. And I recall very vividly on that particular day we spoke about Hazrat Muadh ibn Jabal. And I said that we have to bring two, you know, important topics together. The importance of the masjid, the sanctity of the masjid, and of course the masjid being named after Muaz ibn Jabal. Such a remarkable type of, you know, honor of this particular community that we have the masjid in the name of a sahabi, which ulama have written, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day told Hazrat Muaz ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala, Ya Muaz, inni uhibbuk. O Muaz, I love you. Ulama have said that they don't find similar words that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used for any other sahabi. We were one day going to Jordan and we were going to visit the maqam of the sahaba. So we went to various sahabas, Hazrat, many of them were in Jordan. Some of the great sahaba, Hazrat Zayd ibn Haritha, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's adopted son, Hazrat Ja'far bin Abi Talib, the cousin of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah bin Rawaha, the poet of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we went to the other direction
And we went to Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala's qabr, and we were on the way to Mu'adh ibn Jabal's qabr when it was close to Isha. Driver said, it's too late, we're going to get very late to go back to Amman. And it's still a hasrat, it's still an ambition to go to that particular place, you know, to the maqam. So someone who has been there has related that on the qabr of Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala, and next to him is his son Abdurrahman ibn Mu'adh. On his qabr is written these words, Ya Mu'adh, Inni Uhibbuk. O Mu'adh, I love you. This is a hadith of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We'll have the good fortune of having your masjid in the name of such an eminent and great sahabi. And inshallah, we will relate one or two other incidents about him during the course of the talk. The title today is The Comprehensive Personality of Our Beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And it is so important. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. We have granted you, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, a perfect example of how to lead your life. So one point that we have to do as far as the Ummah is concerned, we praise our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which is very, very important. We have to have the love of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The sanctity of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam must be in our heart. Otherwise, we are not Muslims. We cannot be believers. You are not a believer until you love me more than what you love anyone else. And the sanctity of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is very, very great. Qari Sahib and Hafiz Sahib read so beautifully, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashshiran wa nadhira wa da'iyan ila Allahi bi idhnihi wa sirajan munira. You know, my whole talk will only be on this if I have to start translating and interpreting this verse. But the one thing we must never do is to mystify the life of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that we don't benefit from his life. And sometimes it can be like that. That we praise him and we say that he was so great. Of course he was great. He was more greater than what our words can ever say. But Allah has made him an example for you to lead your life. That we must not forget. That he is an example for us to lead our life in every manner. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, وَمَا مَنَعَ النَّاسَ أَن يُؤْمِنُوا إِذْ جَاءَهُمُ الْهُدَىٰ إِلَّا أَن قَالُوا أَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ بَشْرًا رَسُولًا. Many people in the past did not come upon a hidayat on this aspect. They started saying, did Allah send a human being as a prophet? And what did Allah reply? قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَلَائِكَةٌ يَمْشُونَ مُطْمَئِنِّينَ لَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَلَكًا رَسُولًا. If the earth was inhabited by angels, Allah would have sent angels as prophets. The earth is inhabited by human beings. Therefore, I sent a human being as a prophet that you can relate to your prophet. If Allah had sent an angel as a prophet, how would we have been able to follow an angel? The angels do not have desires. They do not have emotions. I read somewhere that when human being cries out of the love or fear of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angels become very perturbed. They become disturbed. They go to Allah, Ya Allah, this person is crying. And one of the reasons why they become perturbed is because they don't have the ability to be able to show emotions. So when human being shows emotions, the angels, you know, they value it tremendously. So how would we have been able to follow the angels? They don't have emotions. They can't, they know, they don't have love. They don't, you know, in the sense of loving other people. And they don't have the need to fulfill their desires. They don't have the need for intimacy. So how would we have been follow the angels? Allah made Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam a perfect example. One of our great scholars, Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali. His son is still alive. Salman Nadwi, Professor Salman Nadwi. He's written one of the greatest books on Seerah. And he's written a book on Seerah. And also, he had 1 week talk in Madras, now known as Chennai. So in that whole particular lecture of his has been, you know, published under Khutbat-e-Madras. Lectures in Madras, 6 lectures. And in English, it has been translated into Muhammad the Ideal Prophet. So in this, he said, there are four major conditions for a Nabi to be an Uswa Hasana. Four major conditions. For Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to be a perfect example, you have four, need four conditions. For any life that has been prescribed to humanity, as a perfect example, it must be able to fulfill four conditions. I will only make mention of the one that is the title of the talk. I will in passing make mention of the four conditions. One is, it must be authentically preserved. Secondly, it must be perfect. Thirdly, it must be comprehensive. And fourthly, it must be practical. If a life must be a perfect example, it must have these four qualities. It must be authentic, it must be perfect, it must be comprehensive, and inshallah, it must be practical. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life met all of these four conditions to be an ideal lifestyle. So at least we have few things to be still, you know, carried on in this particular masjid, inshallah. So today we have one of those particular conditions for an ideal lifestyle. So Sulaiman Nadwi Rahmatullahi writes, he said that if a life has been presented to you as an ideal life, it must be able to be an example, such a comprehensive example, that is an example for the poor and the rich. It must be an example for the laborer and the businessman. It must be an example for the employer and the employee. It must be an example for people in their different situations, in happiness, in sadness, in victory and defeat, in setbacks and challenges, and in times of celebration. That is the reason why our ulama have written that Allah Ta'ala put our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam through so many conditions and situations. Sometimes there was happiness, sometimes there was sadness. Sometimes there was victory, sometimes there was setbacks. Sometimes there was, you know, with a little bit and a small group of people, he was able to overcome a greater army, the Battle of Badr. Sometimes initially there was victory, on the verge of victory, and it turned into a setback, Uhud. Sometimes there was initially a setback, and then it turned into a victory, Hunain. Sometimes there was a situation that he did not have enough resources to be able to protect himself. What did he do? What a great lesson for us. Sometimes we are also faced, in fact today we are faced with that situations. You don't have resources to be able to fight the enemies. So you take a step backwards. You take a step backwards, and Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what did he do? He dug a trench, and he remained behind the trench. Maybe a time will come, we will come out of the trench also, inshallah. We will go beyond the trench. But why did Allah Ta'ala put our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam through all of these situations? Because it must be an example for every group of people, every category, every circumstances, till the day of Qiyamah. Then he further writes, you see, sometimes in your own life, you have happiness, you have sadness. Sometimes you are a father, sometimes you are a teacher, sometimes you are a student. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life was comprehensive and an example for every group, every category of human being till the day of Qiyamah. And in our own individual situations, it is an example in all our varying circumstances that occur in our life. The first thing that we would like to make mention of, how did our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he taught us how to turn towards Almighty Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Brothers, this is the greatest aspect that we have, the greatest right that we have is to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was, Allah Ta'ala had made mention, لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَرَ. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was free from all faults, from all types of blemishes. But yet Allah Ta'ala said, if, O a prophet of Almighty Allah, if for example you had to commit anything, Allah has forgiven your previous and subsequent and your future type of situations. Not that there was any type of guna and sins. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was masoom, free from all blemishes. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was free from all types of, any types of inappropriate actions. But yet, our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was given such a great rank. Allah Ta'ala made mention about his situation, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ قُلُقٍ عَزِيمٍ. I take an oath that your conduct is of such a great situation, such a great status. In Dalailul Khairat, there is one of the duruds that reads something like this. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الموصوف بأفضل الأخلاق والشيخ. Salam be upon that Nabi of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which was mawsuf. He was entrusted and he had all the most beautiful aspects of conduct and character. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah praises him. But look at Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to worship Allah, make ibadat of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such an extent that his feet used to swell and there used to be blisters upon his feet. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala one day said, O Prophet of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has given you such a great maqam. Why do you put yourself through such great exertions and effort? So what did our beloved Nabi Karim s.a.w. reply? Afala akunu abdan shakura. Should I not be a grateful servant of Almighty Allah? When Allah has blessed me, so what is shukr? What is gratitude? Gratitude is that I turn towards Almighty Allah to thank Him for giving Him that this great status. Brothers, Allah has given us also a very great status, not because of our own, because of the ummah of our beloved, being the ummah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You are the best ummah that Allah Ta'ala has created. When Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam read this ayat, Jami' al-Tirmidhi's riwayat, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, antum tatimmuna sab'ina ummah. You are the culmination of many, many ummahs. The word 70 in the Arabic language does not specify the exact numerals or the exact number. In Arabic, the word 70 refers to a great amount of ummah. So you use the word 70 many times in the Quran and Hadith. The word 70 is not especially the specific number. It means you are the culmination of many ummahs. Antum akramuha wa afzaluha. You are the most honored and the most superior. Now, what is our way for us to show our thanks to Allah Ta'ala? To make that same type of namaz. How Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed shukr. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had the greatest fear of Almighty Allah. He taught us how to turn towards Almighty Allah. Hazrat Mu'ab al-Hasan Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali has written a book. The book is Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the mirror of his du'as. It's such an amazing book. He said, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam addressed Allah Ta'ala. And he asked of Allah, with such words, with such dua, that those particular words and duas can only emanate from a Nabi of Allah. That duas that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked, therefore we must learn the masnoon duas. Obviously, Allah Ta'ala knows all languages. So we can make dua in any language. But when you make dua with the words of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it has a different flavor. It has a different impact. How would you be able to bring about two different situations? Right? One is everyone wants respect. Allah Ta'ala has told us that we all want izzat. We are supposed to even make dua for izzat. Right? وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. But yet at the same time, it must not lead to pride and arrogance. Right? Now how do you bring these two situations together? On one hand, you want respect and dignity. And yet at the same time, you don't want pride and arrogance. Look at how Nabi Karim s.a.w. addressed this in his dua. Allahumma ja'al fi ayni saghira wa fi ayni nasi kabira. Oh Allah, make me insignificant in my own eyes and make me significant in the eyes of people. Can anyone put these two situations that we have to find the balance better than what our beloved Nabi Karim s.a.w. put it? Allahumma husni bi aynika allati la tanam. Oh Allah, protect me with those gaze and your eyes and your observation that sleep never overtakes. وَكْنُفْنِي بِرُكْنِكَ الَّذِي لَا يُرَامْ. O Allah, grant me support with a pillar of yours, that pillar that never ever breaks. وَرْحَمْنِي بِقُدْرَتِكَ عَلَيَّ. Brothers, recently I've been reading this dua for myself a lot, and I would recommend that you read this. You know what is the meaning of this dua? You go to a person in the city council. Now we have to go to the city council all the time in our area. All the time we have to go. And you go and tell him, listen, no one can do this work besides you. Only you can be, you can only solve this matter. So the man feels a little bit pride. He feels that, listen, this man has given me some sort of importance. Let me try and do it. I don't know if it works or not in our city council or not. But you do this. Sometimes you do that. وَرْحَمْنِي بِقُدْرَتِكَ عَلَيَّ. O Allah, have mercy upon me because you have full control and authority over me. Because of your power and authority over me, have mercy upon me. Now, where do those type of words come? Who brings forward those type of, you know, emotions in asking of Almighty Allah? It is only our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that taught us. And every dua of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he taught is full of wisdom. Look at the dua that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made after Taif. Every word of it is full of wisdom. Every word of it is full of wisdom. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us how to relate to Almighty Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. When there was an eclipse of the sun in Medina Munawwara, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam read a salah. The Sahaba said, he read such a long qiraat, we felt he's not going to go into ruku. When he went to ruku, we felt he's not going to come out of ruku. When he went into sijda, we actually felt that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah has taken out his life. And afterwards he made dua to Almighty Allah. Ya Allah, what dua? Ya Allah, you have promised in the Holy Quran that you will not destroy my ummah while I'm alive amongst them. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ. You will not punish my ummah when I am with them. Oh Allah, what is the signs of punishment? You see, even this eclipse, my ustad, as the Mufti Wali Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, irrespective of the astronomical reasons with regard to it, that the sun and the moon comes between the sun and the earth, all of that is on its place. But the reality is that sun, which all the time is burning fiercely and giving light, Allah Ta'ala for a certain period of time robs it of its light. You see, this is an amazing thing. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had that fear of Almighty Allah, had that fear of Adab. Where do we have that? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, one day Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, came to him and he said, Abdullah, read the Quran for me. Ulama have written that there were certain Sahaba who read the Quran the way Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to read, and Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the way it was revealed upon Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One of them was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam one day went for see the people what they are doing at the time of Tahajjud. Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu was reading. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam heard his qiraat for a long time. And then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the next morning praised his qiraat and said, you read so melodiously. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was one amongst them. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, oh Abdullah, read Quran for me. So Nabi Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, ya Rasulullah, must I read it to you? Wa alayka unzil, and it was revealed to you. How am I going to read it to the person whom Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran has entrusted with preserving and propagating the words of Almighty Allah? فَإِذَا قَرَعْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِي قُرْآنَا ثُمَّ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا بَيَانَا كَلَّا بَلْ تُحِبُّونَ الْعَاجِنَا وَتَذُرُّ. So what is that? Allah Ta'ala had given him that responsibility. Must I read to you? When you are the one whom Allah had entrusted his amanat. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes, I'm in the mood of listening today. Some people love to listen to the Holy Quran. My brother who is here, alhamdulillah, Iqbal by Mughalia, every day after Maghrib sends me a clip of the Quran because he loves to listen to the Holy Quran. He's got a passion for it. And so sometimes it happens that you love to listen to the Holy Quran. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I would like to listen from you. So Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala read from Surah Nisa. When he came to the ayat, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَىٰ هَٰؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. What is going to be the condition in the day of Qiyamah when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will be called and he will give testimony on behalf of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam? What's the background of this verse? The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah will call them and say, did you propagate my message to your people? And they will say, yes. And the people will refute it. And they will say, what is your evidence? And the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam will say, our evidence is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So when he came to that ayat, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, I saw Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam put his hand on my mouth and said, Hasbuka ya ibn Mas'ud. Enough, O ibn Mas'ud. He said, when I looked at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was crying till his beard was wet with tears. He taught us how we must relate to Allah. What must be our position in front of Allah Ta'ala. Then that was one aspect of his life. He taught us how to live with our family. My dear respected brothers, something that you and I, we sometimes take it that this is not part of deen. Nabi Akram Sallallahu interacted with his children, with his grandchildren, in a way and in a manner that is only, you know, something that we can just part of the miracle of our beloved Nabi Akram Sallallahu. Despite his greatness, despite him being in that particular realm, that even the angels used to make him salam. And he came to a situation in Mi'raj, Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam said, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, O Muhammad, if you have to go one step ahead, the power of Allah Ta'ala will consume me. I can't go one step ahead. And Nabi Akram Sallallahu went even beyond that, much beyond that. But yet he brought himself down to the level of playing with his grandchildren. Huh? Sahaba said that he used to put his grandchildren on his back. Sometimes, you know, you go into all fours, the grandchildren used to sit upon him. And one Sahabi came, and Hazrat Hussein most likely was on his back. And he told Hazrat Hussein, you are so fortunate that you are mounting the Nabi of Allah, the greatest human being Allah created. What did our beloved Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said? You are talking about the mount. Look at what a great rider I have on me. I mean, Hussein radiallahu anhu was 6 years of age when Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave him that importance. Ibn Layla says that one day after Isha, we came to visit Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And at that particular time, you know, he had one of his grandchildren on his stomach. And of his children are children, they started, you know, they passed water, you know, urine. And we were all like, we were Sahaba. That was his grandchild, but we were people who looked upon him as a Nabi of Allah. And we rushed forward and we said, Ya Rasulullah, what's happening? Leave my grandchild alone. Just don't tell him anything. And he wiped away that whole particular urine. And he kept his grandchild without saying any word. I wonder what we will do. One of the most amazing incidents I read was an incident written by Muhammad Ali As-Sa'labi. And Sa'labi has written some very, very beautiful books on the history of Sahaba Ikram. If anyone goes to Makkah and Medina, you go to the bookshops, try and get his books. He's written amazing books. He's written on Salahuddin Ayyubi Rahmatullahi, he's written Hassan radiallahu anhu, Hussein radiallahu anhu, all the Khulafai Rashidin. In the book that he has written about Hassan radiallahu anhu, I read this incident. That in the time of, you know, Marwan, who was the governor of Medina. So Marwan one day came to Abu Huraira and said, Abu Huraira, why do you show so much of love and respect to Hassan and Hussein when I'm the governor of Medina? I'm the governor of Medina, you show respect to Hassan and Hussein, and I'm the governor. So he said that Abu Huraira was lying down. And he said when Marwan told him that, he got up. And he said, Marwan, let me tell you why I respect these two people. One day we were going in a journey when Hassan and Hussein were crying. And when they were crying, I went into the tent of Fatima. As Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went into the tent of Fatima and said, why are my grandchildren crying? So Fatima said, I don't have any, you know, it's not within my capacity to keep them quiet because they want water and there's no water in the desert. So Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as Abu Huraira said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put his two grandchildren on his lap and he stuck out his tongue and he told his two grandchildren, suck my tongue. Ulama have differed. Some ulama said miraculously maybe Allah Ta'ala had put some water on the tongue of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that they quenched their thirst. Or maybe it was just because of the moistness of their tongue, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gave them sabr. Abu Huraira said, Marwan, are you asking me why I love these two people? This is the reason why I love my grandchildren. This was the reason why I show respect to Hassan Hussein. Who do we have that type of? Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam one day was hugging his grandchildren. And a person came back and said, I never ever hugged my grandchildren ever in my life. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what must I do if Allah Ta'ala took away compassion from your heart? In today's time, my dear respected brothers, I'm making a plea from the seerat of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Have that relationship with your children that they must never ever feel devoid of love. They must never ever feel alone. They must never feel that their parents don't love them. And it will be the greatest tragedy that in search of their love, they don't get from parents, they must get it from someone else. Or they must get it from someone who will mislead them. or they will get it from a source that leads them towards temptation. And may Allah Ta'ala forbid that must happen. In today's time, more than any time before, show the greatest amount of love for your children. I'm not saying don't discipline them, but more than ever, give them love. Give them the confidence, because if there is that love and confidence, then inshallah will be able to save them from the temptation and trials that are in abundance today. And of course, it's not only that. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had tremendous amount of concern for his children's deen. And his children's, we all know the incident of Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, who came and said, you know, she came one day and Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was busy, and then afterwards Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to see her at the home in the evening. And afterwards, when everyone had gone away from Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, "Oh my daughter, you came, why did you come?" "Oh my father, I have so much difficulty in fulfilling my daily household routines, and you were giving out, you know, slaves, and I thought that maybe I would be able to get one to be able to help me with my daily household routines." And Nabi Karim Sallallahu said, "Oh my daughter, there are other people who are more in need of you with regard to your household routine. Read these three things. Read the Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 34 times before you sleep." Love he had. So much love that he had for Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, that it is made mention in the books of hadith. Whenever Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi went on a journey, the last one that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi met was Hazrat Fatima. And the first one to come when he came back was to Hazrat Fatima. In a time and an era when people used to bury their daughters alive. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi, when Fatima used to come in the room, used to stand up out of respect and love. In a time when Sahaba, before becoming Islam, even some of the Sahaba, many of them used to bury their daughters alive, or the people used to bury their daughters alive. In such a time, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to stand up out of love and respect. When his eldest daughter, Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala, passed away, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam went into the qabr, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam cried. And when he came out of the qabr, he was smiling. Sahaba said, "Ya Rasulullah, you were crying when you went in the qabr, out of the way, came out to smiling." What did Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? Oh my, Sahaba, my daughter underwent, this daughter of mine underwent great amount of sacrifice for the sake of deen. So I made dua for her when I was in the qabr. When I was going into the qabr, I was crying, recalling her great amount of effort and the struggle. I mean, she's the one that Abbad ibn Aswad had put a spear on the camel in which she was riding, coming back to Medina for hijrat, after when Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had already migrated. And because of that spear, the camel became rebellious, and it threw her off the camel, and because of which she lost her child. And later on, ulama have written that perhaps that was one of the reasons of her own death. Right? So this was some of the effort and the sacrifice that she had done. So she said, "I cried because of the sacrifice of my daughter, and I went into the qabr and asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive her. And Allah ta'ala revealed to me in the qabr that I have forgiven your daughter and I have given her elevated status in Jannah. Therefore, when I came out of the qabr, I was crying. I mean, I was happy. First I was crying, then I was happy." This was how Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with his family. Then Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one of the great things that we find in the life of our beloved Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how he won people's hearts. This is something, it is so amazing. You know, what I find very amazing in today's time compared to the seerah of our beloved Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we are in our situation today in South Africa more than anything else, we are experts in taking people out of the fold. We love to take people out of the fold. It is an honor for us to take people out of the fold. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made effort to bring people into the fold. And some of the way how he won people's hearts is something for us to learn. Khalid bin Walid, even people who were enemies, people who harmed the cause. But Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam always had at the back of his mind, how can I bring them into the fold of Islam? How can I bring them to see the beauty of Islam? Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, subhanallah, he was the one who caused the setback in Uhud. He is the one who made and was the cause, the apparent cause of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's uncle Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala becoming shaheed, his body becoming mutilated. He was the cause. And he had animosity and hostility towards Islam and the Muslims and our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. To such an extent that when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, according to the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, came the next year for 3 days to make Umrah. Only 3 days. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in those 3 days asked, "Where is Khalid? Where is Khalid?" Khalid could not even bear Muslims being in Makkah. He couldn't even bear seeing Muslims in Makkah. He fled Makkah for that particular 3 days. He then wasn't in Makkah. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked, "Where is Khalid?" So his brother Walid bin Walid, you know, he said, "Khalid, because of these reasons, Ya Rasulullah, he's gone out of Makkah." So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Walid bin Walid, "Oh Walid, go and tell your brother. Go and tell your brother. An intelligent person like him cannot remain oblivious of the beauty of Islam. Tell him to come to Islam, we will give him honor. We will give him respect. We will give him respect and honor." Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so told these words to Walid. Walid bin Walid wrote a letter. Wrote a letter to Khalid and left it in Makkah. When he came back, he saw that letter. And Walid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "Oh Khalid, you are running away from the Nabi of Allah. The Nabi of Allah was calling for you. He was calling for you. He was saying that where is Khalid? An intelligent person like him cannot remain oblivious of the beauty of Islam." Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu at that particular time saw certain dreams which was indicating for him to come towards Islam. And Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu went and he said, "I'm coming to Medina to become a Muslim." And on the way he met Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu and other people, and he came in the presence of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he became a Muslim and he became Saifullah. How did he become Saifullah? If it was in today's time, wallahu alam, what would have happened? He would have been ostracized. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never less lost hope on him till the last giving. Sometimes even people who were so opposed to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ikrama bin Abi Jahl, Ya Allah, was the son of Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl, the greatest enemy in the history of humankind. The greatest pharaoh. The greatest zalim. A greater kafir, our ulama have written, than even Fir'aun. Fir'aun said, "Ana rabbukum wal ala, I'm your Lord." But Fir'aun, at the time of his death, said, "Amantu annahu la ilaha illa alladhi amanat bihi banu Israel." When he was dying, he said, "I bring iman on the Lord of Bani Israel." This Fir'aun of this ummah, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called him the Fir'aun of this ummah. When Abdullah ibn Mas'ud came to cut off his neck, he said, "Go and tell your prophet how much I hated him yesterday, today I hate him more." That Abu Jahl, his son, grew up in that house. The same thing happened with him that happened to Khalid bin Walid. He also fled Makkah at the time of the conquest of Makkah. His wife, Ummi Hakim, I think, right? She's the one who accepted Islam. She said, "Ya Rasulullah, allow, give protection to Ikramah. He has fled from here, but give protection to him." Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, go and tell Ikramah that I have given him protection." So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave him protection. She went to go and search for Ikramah. Ikramah took a boat and he was going towards Yemen from the Red Sea, from Jeddah. And something happened in that particular boat, they came back to Jeddah. And when he came back, Ummi Hakim said, "Come and meet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Come and meet Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Come see his akhlaq. Come see what he is doing. Come see his excellent mercy and forgiveness." So he came. Hazrat Maulana Idris Kandelvi Rahmatullah Ali in the book Siratul Mustafa has written something amazing. He said that when he was coming, and Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was informed, "Ikrama bin Abi Jahl is coming." Do you know what Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said? "Don't speak bad about his father. Don't speak bad about his father. Speaking bad about the dead doesn't change their fortune. It only hurts the feeling of the living. Speaking bad about the dead doesn't change their fortune. Whatever they have done, they are going to get it. Allah is going to reward or punish them. It doesn't change their fortune. What are you going to get by speaking bad about the dead? But it hurts the living. The people who are alive among their family, it hurts them." So then Ikrama bin Abi Jahl came. Ulama say that Nabi Akram ﷺ got up out of happiness. Out of happiness meeting this person. And so much that the lungi of Nabi Akram ﷺ became loose and he had to tighten it again. And then Nabi Akram ﷺ called him. And Ikrama bin Abi Jahl became a Muslim. And then he sacrificed his life in the path of Almighty Allah. The day he passed away, there were 70 wounds on the front of his body. This is how he won people over. He won people and enemies. And there are so many examples I can give. You know, one of the greatest examples is the one of Washi. The Washi is the one who mutilated the body of Nabi Karim Sallallahu's uncle. He, you know, put a spear through the body. And Washi said that, "I was told that if you kill Hamza, you would be free." He said, "I only went to the battle of Uhud to go and kill Hamza. I did nothing. I stood behind a rock. I just waited. I waited. I followed Hamza. I followed." Very difficult to get hold of Hamza because of his, you know, expertise in the military field. And he said, "At one particular occasion, I got an opportunity, especially after Abu, you know, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu came and the Muslims were in certain amount of disarray, and I hit a spear, such a spear that entered him from the front and went out of the back." So after he got his freedom, he went away, he went to stay near Taif. And Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to write letters to him, pleading to him to accept Islam. Pleading to him to accept Islam. The letters are long, different ayats, I don't have the time. So we will let it. And eventually Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one ayat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wrote, he said, "This ayat doesn't fit my situation. This ayat says I must bring iman, I must repent, I must do righteous deeds. I don't have righteous deeds. What am I going to gain benefit in accepting Islam?" Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wrote him another letter. Four letters Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wrote him. The last one, he said, "This ayat makes sense to me. Ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusim, la taqnatu min rahmatillah. O you who have done wrong unto your soul, don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all sins." He comes into Masjid al-Nabawi, he covers his face, completely covers his face, thinking and knowing that if someone sees me before I come in the presence of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they will kill me, they will execute me because of what I had done. And even when he comes into Masjid al-Nabawi and he removes his scarf, Sahaba take their hands into their sword, "Ya Allah, Ya Rasulullah, Washi has come, he has presented himself, let us execute him and let us kill him." "Ya Allah." Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Leave him. Washi, come here, sit in front of me." And he said, "Oh Washi, tell me how you killed my uncle. Tell me how you executed my uncle. How you killed my uncle." Ulama say 8 years before that incident took place. 8 years. And after 8 years, he's asking Washi, "How did you do it?" And as he's saying it, he's crying. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is crying. And then he said, "Oh Washi," he became a Muslim. "Oh Washi, Allah will accept. Allah will wipe away your sins of the past. Inna al-Islam yahdimu ma kana qabla." Islam wipes away everything that has been done in the past. "But don't come in front of me. Every time I see you, I will think about my uncle." Even therefore, we see our ulama have said, personality clashes must never ever hamper the progress of Islam. So even in this, that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not want to see him because of a particular situation, but he did not prevent him from becoming a Muslim. In fact, he welcomed and embraced him to become a Muslim. And then not only with enemies, how did he treat his own friends? This Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala, I said I'll make mention of another incident. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he said, "Inni uhibbuk," he said it in a particular context. You know, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam always was encouraging to people. Brothers, we are not going to get people to come upon Islam by turning them away. We're not going to bring people closer towards the truth by making them, you know, turning them and labeling them and calling them names and turning them away and showing them a certain degree of, you know, hostility towards them. People in today's time in particular will come closer when they see mercy, kindness and compassion. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. It is Allah's mercy that the Prophet of Almighty Allah was kind. If he was not kind upon you, the people would not have surrounded and loved him. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, amongst his own kind, amongst our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, amongst his own situations, and amongst the people who were close to him, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam always used the means of encouragement. He also looked at the mistakes and the errors of his followers with the finger of compassion, not with the finger of accusation. Yeah, I see an error. Here's a chance for me to go into social media and make mention of it. Nabi Akram Sassan never did that. I was just recently listening to, you know, one of the clips of one of our great ulama, Hazrat Maulana Umar Palanpuri Rahmatullahi. So Maulana Umar Palanpuri Rahmatullahi said that when you correct someone, it is important when you correct someone that you don't make the matter worse than the wrong that he is doing. You don't create more fitna in correcting the wrong than the wrong itself. He said, that is why our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he used to address, and he used to address the wrongs and errors of the society, never used to take names. He used to say, ma balu aqwamin yafaluna kada. What is wrong with people that they are doing such and such a thing? He used to speak about it in a general way. And then Maulana Umar Palanpuri rahmatullahi alayhi says in this most beautiful clip, he says, but if you say, ma balu aqwamin yafaluna kada, what is wrong with people that are doing such and such a thing? And by you making mention of that such and such a thing, people know whom you are referring to. Then you must not even make mention of that also. So how our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught people? So this Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala. Before that, I just want to say, before I talk about Mu'adh, I was talking how Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned people over. Brothers, this is something that you and I have not been able to do in South Africa. We have a very envious type of infrastructure, our masajid, our madaris, but we have not showed Islam to the people. And wallahi lazim, there is such a great thirst. Our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so passionate about showing people about the beauty of Islam. لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِرُ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمْ إِنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ. That Allah Ta'ala had to say, why do you put yourself under such strain that the people are not accepting Islam? لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِرُ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ. You know, recently on one, you know, Friday, Mufti Aku comes on Radio Islam and speaks about the Sahaba Ikram. So one day he made mention that in Hayatul Muslimi, Hayatul Sahaba, the first volume, you know, person by the name of Hakim bin Hizan. So Hakim bin Hizan was known for his enmity and hostility against Islam. So one day they caught him and they brought him to Medina. So Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar was Umar. Ya Rasulullah, this man here, he's come into our hands, let's execute him. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Umar, wait. Hold on, let me speak to him. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to him about Islam. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to him about Islam. Until Hakim bin Hizan became a Muslim. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then told Umar, O Umar, is this not better than executing him? You wanted to execute him. Look at what I had done. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, I used to cry when I used to see Hakim bin Hizan. And eventually he became martyred in one of the battles. And then I used to think, Ya Allah, I wanted to execute a person whom Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought upon Iman. He brought him upon Dawah, through the means of Dawah. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that same book, there is written that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Bani Shayban at the time before Hijrah. And he went to go and speak to them and said, become a Muslim, become Muslims. That time Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was looking for someone to support them. And they said, what do you teach? So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them a few ayats. One of the ayats was, Inna Allah ya'muru bil adl wal ihsan wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi. You know, when we hear that ayat, is a time for us to get up. You know, the imam is finishing the khutbah. So they heard that and they said, wallahi, this is such a beautiful teaching. We are prepared to accept Islam, but we can't tolerate or we can't face the hostility of the Quraysh. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when thereafter, now I'm just giving you somehow Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the passion for people to become Muslims. Do we have that same passion? And how did he bring people? He told Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal, Ya Mu'adh inni uhibbuk. Oh Mu'adh, I love you. Read after every namaz, Allahumma inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Oh Allah, assist me in remembering you and being grateful to you and having the best devotion towards you. He then said, hey, tu parni gadera. Huh? You know, I'll hit you. Go read this. Learn this dua. I love you. Read this. I love you. Therefore, I'm telling you to read this. Hazrat Mu'adh said, I never ever forgot that dua for the rest of my life, reading it after every salat. He looked at the errors of with compassion. Muawiyah ibn Hakam was a small sahabi. And I will inshallah finish in the next 5 or 6 minutes inshallah. Hazrat Muawiyah, you know, one day he came, he just became a Muslim, he was young, he had that passion. And he heard that when you sneeze, you must say Alhamdulillah. So he was sitting in the back steps of the masjid, and he sneezed loudly and he said Alhamdulillah. And the people started, you know, they elbowing him. And he said, why are we elbowing me? What did I do wrong? Didn't Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, after you sneeze, you must say Alhamdulillah. But of course, not loudly. So he said, I felt embarrassed because everyone was looking at me. After salam, I felt so embarrassed. Everyone started looking at me. You know, nowadays if a person makes a noise in the masjid, he doesn't feel embarrassed, he feels proud. But anyway, that's a different matter. Now, he felt embarrassed and said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called me. And he said, who made this noise? Who made such a big noise? And he said, I felt even more embarrassed. And Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came. And he said, these are the words of his which are shining in the books of history. He said, ما قهرني وما ولا دربني ولا شتمني. The Prophet of Allah didn't lift his hands upon me. I was small. He didn't shout me. He didn't abuse me. ما رأيت معلما قبله ولا بعده أحسن من. I never saw a teacher before or after better than the Nabi of Allah. I never saw a teacher before or after better than Nabi Akram. Brothers, when we see what is happening today in our religious sphere, we really need to question ourselves, is this the methodology that is being used? Then we say we have to follow the sunnah of our beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had so much of kindness and compassion. He treated each and every person according to his temperament. Even if that particular temperament was sometimes little beyond what was the norm. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says that one day Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting in a home. He was sitting in a rather relaxed mood to such an extent that the lungi of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was raised and you could see his shin. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala sought permission. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him permission. Okay. And he said the same way. Umar radiallahu ta'ala came and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat in the same way. You know, sitting in the relaxed way, slightly the shin, not, and of course not anything, just the shin of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was exposed. And Usman radiallahu ta'ala knocked on the door. Who is it? Usman. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got up, put his kurta right, put his lungi right. Even whatever that little bit of shin that was exposed, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam covered it. And Usman came and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interacted with him. And then Aisha was very, 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 very perceptive. It's sometimes worthy to go and just understand the question she asked Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I did once a program, I covered about 5 or 10 questions she asked. And each and every one of them is full of wisdom. One day she said she saw Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making dua. Oh Allah, I seek protection from deen and death. Death in a bad manner and deen and loans. Loans that I take, a debt. So Nabi Akram said, Ya Rasulullah, you're putting these two things together in one dua. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a person becomes and takes a loan, he becomes morally vulnerable. When he speaks sometimes lies and he makes a promise, he doesn't fulfill his promise. So she saw this and said, Ya Rasulullah, Abu Bakr came, Umar came, you stayed in the same manner. Usman came, you changed your whole temperament, your whole demeanor. And what did Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? Why should I not show respect to the modesty of a person that even the angels show modesty in his presence? Usman was known, we read in the khutbah, وَأَحْيَا Uthman. The one who had the greatest modesty in this ummah was Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, why should I not show modesty? Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with him according to his temperament. Nowadays we make mention, you say, now this person here, he's so sensitive, man. What must we do with him? Well, treat him with his sensitivity if he's sensitive. This is what the sunnah of our beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. So my dear respected brothers, this is just some of the examples that we can give. As I said, we can go, hours and hours, given various examples of our beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to also, have such a beautiful, interaction with sahaba. Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala, one day, you know, his eyes was paining. So one of his eyes was sore and was tearing. So normally from the medical point of view, that particular time, to have dates at such a time when your eyes are tearing, because the temperament of dates is hot, it could impact upon the tearing of the eyes. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw him, you know, having dates. So hey, you are not supposed to have dates while your eyes is tearing. Don't you know that it is harmful to you? And what is Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm not having it with that eye, I'm having it with the other eye. Now what type of temperament, what type of interaction is that? That is the type of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Brothers, in short, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us, you know, the comprehensive nature of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I have just given you certain examples of that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the tawfiq of further, you know, reading about the life of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Normally in Sirat, I always make mention of this one particular point. Brothers, take one good book and read about our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know, it's amazing that today we don't read. If you have to ask anyone, what did you ever read a book of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, from the beginning till the end, very few people have read. We have, you know, we can only read something, you know, that is in a small post, in a Twitter which got 140 characters. That is our situation today. It's very sad. You know, we don't seem to read about our beloved. Ask, you know, every aspect of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the chronological order of the life of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has great amount of wisdom in terms of our understanding and practicing upon Islam. But we don't even know which incident of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came first and then which came later. So all in all, my dear respected brothers, let us use this opportunity to come closer, to bring every aspect of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life into us. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم انت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك ربنا وتعاليت يا ذا الجلال والاكرام اللهم ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد اذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمه انك انت الوهاب اللهم اجعل نبينا لنا فرطه وحوضه لنا مورده اللهم احشرنا في زمرته واستعملنا بسنته وتوفنا على ملته وجعلنا من حزبه اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأحوال والآفات وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات وترفعنا بها عندك على درجات وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة وبعد الممات إنك على كل شيء قدير سبحان ربنا رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله